the Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
You're not here.
We're not there. The car exploded. Come get the girls. I have to stay here with Woodrow.
I'm not the chauffeur. I'm the grandfather.
Where are you?
Asteroid City, Farm Route 6, mile 75.
Last train!
Junior stargazers and space cadets. Each year we celebrate Asteroid Day, commemorating September 23rd, 3007 BC, when the Arid Plains meteorite made Earth impact.
Holy Toledo, that's Mitch Campbell.
You were very good in the one about the tramp in the brothel who gets amnesia and becomes a pediatrician. You were very awesome.
Actually, maybe my favorite character ever.
I don't know why nobody else liked it.
Oh.
What do those pulses indicate?
What? Oh, the beeps and blips? We don't know.
Some of our information about outer space may no longer be completely accurate. Anyway, there's still only 9 planets in the solar system as far as we know, Billy?
Except now there's an alien.
What's happening now?
I don't know.
I don't like the way that guy looked at us, the alien.
How did he look?
Like we're doomed.
Maybe we are.
I've just informed the president.
How long can they keep us in Asteroid City, legally?
The world will never be the same.
That's an alien doing jumping jacks. That's an alien in a top hat.
What's out there? The meaning of life. Maybe there is one.
Are you married?
I'm a widower, but don't tell my kids.
You're saying her mother died 3 weeks ago?
Let's say she's in heaven, which doesn't exist for me, of course, but you're Episcopalian.
In my loneliness, I learned to give complete and unquestioning faith to the people I love. I don't know if that includes you, but it included my daughter and your 4 children.
Sometimes I think I feel more at home outside the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, wow. Me too. They're strange, aren't they? They're children. Compared to normal people.
Yes, that's correct.
It's true.
Freight train, going so fast. Freight train. So fast, I do
a nude scene. You want to see it?
Huh? Did I say yes?
You didn't say anything.
I meant yes. My mouth didn't speak.
Thank you.
the most Wes Anderson of all Wes Anderson movies, Asteroid City. Profound, deeply thoughtful, pretentious. Who knows? Critics have been all over the place with respect to this one. Richard Fitzwilliams, what do you make of a movie that starts off like a stage play, takes you through the stage play, and indeed even has the classic Indian love call, "When I'm calling you," in the
beautiful
background.
Alex, an introduction like that, how could I resist to follow it with praise for the mellifluous tone that you've just used? And may I say, I mean, Asteroid City is a movie for some, but not for all. It's only fair to say that Wes Anderson's admirers might very well find a great deal to admire in the sort of quirky plot and the weird way it's handled. I mean, it's billed as a comedy drama, written, directed, and produced by him, indeed, and with an all-star cast, which certainly shows that you've got a great deal of pull here. There's no doubt that that will help to draw in.
You've got Scarlett Johansson, you got Tom Hanks, to name but two.
Now, here I have to explain. It's a so-called metatextual plot, the events of a junior Stargazer convention and also Space Cadets. It's a retro-futuristic version of 1955, staged as a play and creation of the play. How you view a play within a play and to what extent it appeals depends very much on whether or not you like quirky movies. I mean, I propose giving this two sets of stars, as I do with Mission Impossible, simply because some will love it and some will find, as I have to honestly confess I did, that the complexities of all this, remembering an anticipation of what is to come, the empowering effects of technology, sending up UFOs and the futuristic, it's set in Asteroid City, is set near where they had tests for the atomic bomb.
I was watching Oppenheimer, honestly.
Well, I mean, I will be watching Oppenheimer in the next week and I do hope to discuss it next Sunday. But the rather extraordinary plot depicts the war photojournalist Angie Steenbeck drives in for the Stargazer convention with his son and three daughters. His car breaks down. He phones his father-in-law, Stanley, played by Tom Hanks. No less, you've got top stars here everywhere wanting help. And Stanley persuades him to tell the children about the recent death of their mother, which Angie concealed. And who do they meet and what does that result in? And indeed, what about the conference? General Gibson is in charge there's so many stars here. It's quite difficult to get
lost. So many stars, that's why they're stargazers, Richard, in Asteroid City, because there are so many stars involved with it. It's another metatextual level.
It may very well be, and also the whole Dr. Hickenlooper, there's Tilda Swinton, there's Bryan Cranston, there's Edward Norton, and you could go, Adrian Brody, you could go through the whole list of it. Now, how is this presented? To what extent? For some, this will be a load of quirky nonsense with empty sets or what looks like empty sets and people performing various activities of one sort or another to make up what could be called a plot, and yes, you could call it a metatextual plot.
Richard, I'm suspecting you're not liking this as much as you like French Dispatch.
I'm afraid that when it comes to liking it, I got very impatient with it. The whole point is whether or not you're on the level of this type of movie.
But it starts in black and white and goes into colour. What's not to love?
Well, there's a lot not to love, if indeed you are not, so to speak, particularly fond of what Wes Anderson has chosen to do here. And when you have the introduction to something which is a play within a play, within a satire, within whatever you might happen to call it, do you care?
But Shakespeare used to use that strategy in several of his events. Start off as a play. We know that's players. We are just players. Cloud Cup Towers.
Jason Schwartzman plays the photojournalist Angie. He also plays the actor who is playing Angie. Scarlett Johansson as Midge Campbell, the actress.
Or Marilyn Monroe.
Plays the actor. I thought the Marilyn Monroe that I saw was Ana de Armas, but that was a very different movie. But she also plays the actress playing Midge Campbell. And so it goes on, Tom Hanks. Jeffrey Wright, indeed, is General Gibson, the name I wanted simply because his voice and Tom Hanks's presence do add a lot to what I can only say is it's according to taste. I mean, what does this movie mean? Does it appeal? Is it a sort of send-up? To what extent? You've got the bomb, you've got the desert, you've also got this rather extraordinary quarantine that's imposed on the various characters at this convention.
And great saturated colour.
Whatever the colour, I can only say that the colour does wear you down because there's a certain emptiness about this movie if you don't happen to have a taste that coincides with Wes Anderson and his particular desire here to, yes, a sort of mixture between a satire and also a send-up of how movies and how stage plays are made and performed, and also you could read into it what you want to about the desert, the bomb, the characters, relationships, and all the rest. Or indeed, you could find that it means nothing to you at all, that you were longing for it to end. And quite frankly, I tend to the latter. I just found it very, very irritating, quite honestly.
Natasha Wanton, one for yourself in Australia?
I mean, I do occasionally like a Wes Anderson, but I've got to be in the mood for it. I often find watching them, I think the actors probably have a lot more fun filming it than sometimes people do watching it. This sounds like it's going to be a lot more complicated than The French Dispatch. So I'm not sure to what extent it's going to be the ability to follow it will be
perhaps a little bit less complicated than Grand Budapest Hotel. We don't know with Wes.
I don't know. I don't know about this one, guys. I do like, as I say, I do like a Wes Anderson. I like the quirkiness. I really like it when a movie does something and I don't see it coming. I like something original, which I'm sure they usually
are. Well, there's the new Miyazaki movie coming out very shortly. That's already got them queuing around the block in Japan.
I know. I think I might see this one, but I think I might have to save it for a day where I'm in the mood for something a little bit eclectic and then concentrate very hard so I try and understand the plot.
I know it's going to be tough, Natasha, because you've got the Matildas playing in the World Cup finals, which start off literally days away in Australia for the Women's World Cup, when possibly the Lionesses, that I know Richard is a passionate supporter of, and will be devastated that there are so many absentees due to the cruciate ligament injuries from Serena Wiegmann's squad. But obviously the Matildas are in place for that. Nevertheless, that's a kind of meta-narrative. Let's turn to a young lady who's got her latest single literally about to be released. No, we probably won't play it today, but it will be sort of coming through. Chloe Rose. Chloe, Asteroid City. Is it something you think, well, I might check that out? I don't know. So far, if it helps, I've yet to meet a single human being who rates it above 2 out of 10. Apart from myself.
Really? 2 out of 10? Oh, my goodness. To be honest, I felt when Richard was saying it, although it was the opposite of what he was hoping, it actually drew me in because you were talking about the complexity that, you know, the fact that it's a play in a play. For me, I like anything that's very quirky, you know, that's agreeing with Natasha, really, that it's original. Probably would need some time to set aside to really focus on it. But for me, it drew me in. What you actually said, Richard, to be honest, I bet you're like, no, I didn't want to do that. So, yes, I would watch it. Definitely.
Well, there you have it. You see, the thing is, with a review, you should, and as I did say, I'd give it an extra mark for those who like the sort of thing. Indeed, the Prime of Jean Brodie, a film in the late 1960s, Miss Brodie is based on a novel by Muriel Spark, and Miss Brodie once does a put-down in the class of a girl who likes tying knots. For those who like that sort of thing, that is the sort of thing they like. I mean, frankly, Grand Budapest Hotel was terrific fun, but that had imagination. This has almost too much imagination, but it absolutely, I'm amused that Alex has talked about 2 out of 10 because you've emboldened me, Alex. You see, you've given me a chance to give it 2 out of 10 for me. I was dying to escape. I'm not sure I'd have had the courage if you hadn't said that. But for the fans of Wes Anderson, I'd give it 6.
And yet 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, some 30% higher than Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which, as we say, doesn't exactly help the Disney Corporation, especially with its streaming services going into meltdown as well. The music, however, on Asteroid City is wonderful. Alexandra Desplat doing some wonderful things there. And, of course, the writer Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola. Interesting line on that range of things. You might well say, OK, let's take it a couple of stages further forward and let's move to a movie which I kind of came out thinking, yeah, probably a 9.5 out of 10. Kind of dropped it to a 9 out of 10 as things have developed, because it does echo a large number of previous incarnations into the actual series itself. But thank heavens it's not dealing with woke politics in any way, shape or form. It is actually clearly addressing the whole notion of the Impossible Missions Force. Although, what a tragedy that one of the leading ladies doesn't make it to the end credits. I could give a spoiler away, but what the hey, you know, it's just a thought. It's when she gets her sword out, that's the time to worry.
Hang on!
Ethan! Go, go, go!
Audiences and critics can't believe what they're seeing.
Listen to me. The world's coming after you.
Stay out of my way.
Tom Cruise has outdone himself. With a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes!
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is... This is why we go to the movies.
Oh, I like her.
It's pulse-pounding. It will rock your world with jaw-dropping action.
Is this where we run?
Go, 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 go!
Probably.
It's one of the best action movies ever made.
What more can I say?
See it in the biggest, most seat-shaking theater you can find. It will take your breath away.
Ethan, did you make it?
Are you okay?
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. Tickets on sale now.
Over to you, Richard.
Alex, you're becoming a little alarming with your previews of these movies. It's deliberately done to throw my reviews out of sync. When you have IMF agent Ethan Hunt, played by Tom Cruise, you certainly know you're going to get several things, which this movie does deliver. Incredible stunts, which amazingly...
He does them all himself, Richard.
Well, I know.
Six times. So Tom Cruise and myself, same age. I've never taken a motorcycle and cycled over the sort of things that he's done. Ever, you know?
I mean, that isn't a spoiler, because, say, if you're going to Piccadilly Circus, you will see that stunt. It's up on one of the billboards. And there's no doubt at all his new mission to retrieve. I mean, we had with Indiana Jones this need to fit two halves of a particular device which would... or could take you back in time. Here it is to retrieve half of a key, which has, in point of fact, in the very spectacular and I thought rather good opening sequence, there's a Russian submarine, Sevastopol. It believes that it's being about to be attacked by another submarine, and it launches its torpedoes. the torpedoes go full circle and blow it up. Now, there's a half key involved in that. To what extent, however, you want to follow all the bits of the plot here, I have to say that the photography probably will win and certainly should get a nomination for the Oscars because it is spectacular. You get an extraordinary sequence where, for reasons we won't give away here, Ethan is or manages to get into a pretty high profile American secret agent, you could call it a conspiracy, really. Everybody wants to get hold of the threat. The threat is the entity. Now, the entity, so-called, is a form of AI which does or does not exist other than some force which threatens humanity. If you can somehow manage through AI, it's a form of AI, to harness the entity, you could dominate the world. But of course, the entity has a very, very destructive force. And what happens if that falls into the wrong hands? All of this is certainly linked to with AI and the actors and writers striking Hollywood and so forth. You could say it's extremely topical. But infiltrating this meeting, this is clever. This is well done. And it's also dramatic. And it continues to be dramatic as we move to the Arabian desert. And also with Benji Dunn, played by Simon Pegg, and Lusa, played by Ving Rhames. This is a fun comedy duo who are alongside Ethan in the attempts to try and defuse the threat. There's a hilarious sequence at Abu Dhabi airport where apparently a bag is
not as good as they did in Toy Story, it has to be said. It borrows a lot from Toy Story.
It may, and then of course there are thieves, and we move from Rome, and indeed from Rome we move to Venice. When we move,
Richard,
to
you've forgotten the yellow Fiat in Rome and the excitement of that, which is only surely ahead of the joys of the Italian job in terms of quality audio travel.
And when it comes to car chases and when it comes to activities on a certain Orient Express, there are spectacular sequences. Indeed, they go on for rather a long time. And I would say, from my point of view, that this movie is far too long. And indeed, when certain characters...
Only part one, Richard. Part two still to come.
I know. And when certain characters, and also you get certain, the entity representing the entity is a character called Gabriel. Now, what does Gabriel do with either half of the key or the whole of the key or what he manages to get from the key? The facts with this movie simply are that if you look, and I would have liked more realistic action, well, you won't get it. But what you will get is thrills and spills, because the various characters, certainly directed by Christopher McQuarrie, what you've got undoubtedly is a movie that hopefully will pull people into the cinema. I mean, all the performances, they do what they're asked to do.
Don't forget Hayley Atwell as Grace, who's obviously the next leading lady for the chop, because they all go in Tom Cruise movies.
Hayley Atwell does her stuff. They all do, quite frankly. But where I would have liked this movie to have moved into the realistic, it's rather like what I wanted for James Bond, when James Bond produced, when they produced Casino Royale, and then they messed up with Quantum of Solace, which was so terrible, Alex, so absolutely ghastly. And that was when there was a screen writer's strike in Hollywood, so they had no scripts, which was a very good excuse. And then subsequently, the Bond series, though it was very good, I thought, in Skyfall, nonetheless, No Time to Die, don't see it a second time. And the point is that this, within the franchise and the appeal, when you had the Bond moths and when you had spectacular locations and so on, they dared not move with outside this, simply because they knew they'd lose a lot of their audience. Now, so far as this is concerned, they've got very likable characters. They've got photography that simply couldn't be surpassed, the sound, the music, all of that. What it does, and I criticize this, say you get 2 3/4 hours is really, really too long. And halfway through, and
it seems like 60 minutes, basically, Richard. It passes in an instant. It's ridiculous to say it's 2.5 hours too long. Ridiculous.
I didn't say it was 2.5 hours too long. I said it was 2 3/4 hours. You misquoted me. I rely on you, Alex, to misrepresent me. It is a movie that the fans will absolutely lap up. It's also, unlike Indiana Jones,
a good movie.
Seems old hat. It is a movie that harnesses technology to draw people in. And I do have to say, Tom Cruise is pretty perfect. But I did feel at that halfway point, I was longing for something much more realistic. Equally,
then go and watch Mission Impossible 1 back in 1996, because that's the most realistic you'll see in that particular series.
Well, whichever began in the Vienna Opera House, which was that, Alex?
That was your, not Ghost Protocol, but Rogue Nation, I think you're referring to that.
That is very good indeed. And that was, I thought, superior to this. But having said that, this ticks a whole variety of boxes. They needed to be ticked. It has a huge appeal. It's got villains. It's got heroines. It's got Tom
Cruise. It's got Vanessa Kirby. Thankfully, Vanessa manages to cleanse the palate completely of her dreadful performance in Pieces of a Woman. And finally, she actually sort of manages to actually get her teeth into a role, playing, of course, Vanessa Kirby, playing Grace as well.
I have no quibble with the performers. I do have a quibble with what passes for a script and the length. But having said that, far be it from me to do anything but agree with some of your points in recent times that, you know, you review because you love cinema, but also you want people to go to cinema. Now, even if that happens to conflict with your personal view, so what? They will go to this. It wasn't too bad when I was there. It was an evening screening, but I gather it's doing fantastically well. And what we've got with Barbie and Oppenheimer coming up this week, this must be an opportunity for people to start going back to where they should see films, in the cinema.
Agree to disagree with that, because I think you can actually enjoy Mission Impossible much more on a kind of tablet screen in all sorts of ways. And interesting enough that you like the opera sequence in Rogue Nation, because that's also borrowed lock, stock and barrel from, of course, Quantum of Solace. Natasha Wanton, a couple of quick questions for you. Ethan, how many letters in the word Ethan?
Going off the traditional spelling, 5?
Exactly. How many letters in the word James?
5.
How many letters in the word? How many letters in the word Hunt?
4.
And in the word Bond?
Well, 4.
And there we have it. Tom Cruise, not selected for Bond because, let's be honest, he's too vertically challenged, has managed to become James Bond in this Mission Impossible series, and do it much better, actually, than some of the Bond movies have actually been going. So, interesting stuff there. Is this one for yourself, Natasha? I know how popular Tom Cruise and, of course, Mission Impossible is down under. They actually shot 2 seasons of a 1980s remake of Mission Impossible in Australia with, obviously, Peter Graves as Jim Phelps. Are you checking out, or have you already been to see this latest incarnation, Part 1, before, of course, we go to Part 2, probably sadly without Ilsa Faust, but what the hey. Natasha?
I really, really must protest. That is the most outrageous spoiler. Rebecca Ferguson is Ilsa Faust, Vanessa Kirby, Eliana.
Rebecca's got June Part 2. Don't worry, she'll be okay.
Morales is Gabriel, who I should have mentioned, given a nod to all those performers. Now, it is not up to us to say which ones survive or might survive or indeed could come back.
It is all artificial intelligence. Natasha, is this going to be born for you?
I think I may have mentioned before on the show how much I vehemently dislike Tom Cruise, like properly cannot stand him. So,
but he has saved cinema. He has single-handedly saved cinema. Top Gun Maverick, Mission Impossible 7, you know, single-handedly he's actually rescued the cinema from box office catastrophe.
Yeah, nah. I haven't seen any of the Mission Impossibles, and I will not be starting now. I will, however, be most excited to check out Oppenheimer this week, so I'm looking forward to reviewing that next week. Look, I'm happy that this is bringing people into the cinema. It's great. Cinema needs some love right now. Everyone go and see it if you're a fan. This just personally is not going to be one for me, I'm afraid.
Well, there is, of course, the latest.
Did you see Top Gun at all?
No.
That was very skilled. It was remarkable. I really liked it, and it did help the cinema. But no, if you have an aversion to Tom Cruise, I think even Alex would agree that I think he appears in almost, if not every scene. You really,
as a Scientologist, he works so hard, so very, very hard. It's just a pity that some of his female characters don't live too long along the way, as the whole series.
Really must restrain ourselves from this. This has become a disease, these spoilers with you. And indeed, diseases, once you've caught them, it's hard to cleanse you.
It's like an artificial intelligence rolling itself out across the world, knowing that it's doing itself no harm at all. Chloe Rose, surely you must be a Mission Impossible fan.
I do. I absolutely love Mission Impossible and I've seen it. But what I will say, which you might think is dreadful of me, I love Tom Cruise. Don't get me wrong. I love his acting and all this. But if I was to compare it to the Bond movies and Daniel Craig, he is amazing. So Daniel Craig's movies are always going to be my favourite. But I know what you mean. He does have that James Bond in one in the Mission Impossible films. So, yeah, go and see it. Go and watch it if you haven't already. It's great. But Bond is always going to be, yes, 10 out of 10 for me. But
which if I was one, saying which this... Bonds? Can I just ask which your favourite and least favourite?
Well, I really like, obviously, Daniel Craig's my favourite. Pierce Brosnan was, you know... Oh, he was good, but I liked him. I can't even think of the bloke. My dad always does an impression.
Sean Connery, Roger.
Sean Connery. He was fantastic as well. I loved Sean Connery. Shaken, not stirred. You know, I loved all the quotes. I'm not very good at doing it, but yeah. I mean, I
thought Tom Sean Cruise had come back from the dead. Honestly, with that line, I honestly thought Sean had actually just beamed in to the radio production just for that moment, Chloe. Oh. Chills.
Yes, my dad can do it really well. I just had a go, but maybe it wasn't great. But yeah, fantastic films, Mission Impossible. Yes, watch it, you know, go for it. But also watch Bond. If you like this, you need to watch James Bond.
Who would you back as the next Bond? Who would you support?
You know who I really like? Oh, my goodness. The thing is, that's a really good question, and I have got a visual of somebody, and he's like a police investigator. What's his name? I can't, honestly, I'll have to come back to that.
One thing we can say is it's unlikely to be Richard Fitzwilliams, much as he's trying to obviously go up for the role these days. And I know he's increased his stunt categories hugely. I'm sorry, you know, even if they're looking for a more broader base for Bond, Richard's unlikely to go for the whole process, but never mind.
Well, it's the stunts that caused the problem, Alex, and the travel, because, as you know, there are difficulties there. So, yes. Otherwise, surely.
But you can get a stuntman, Richard.
Oh, I've got the name.
And also the jokes. Oh. I mean, you know, I could carry those off. And a few deaths, I wouldn't mind, you know.
I mean, I think more of a villain, Richard. I always see you as the Machiavellian villain with sort of devious mindsets in tow as well. Yes, Chloe, your name that you've discovered at long last is?
Well, I can't think of
Idris
his name.
Idris Elba.
Yes, that's it. The actor from Luther. He's incredible. I think he'd be amazing for it. Mm. Or Tom Hardy. I do love Tom Hardy as well.
What there about James Norton?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, yes.
I mean, they've been tipped so often that he's almost, you almost feel he's been pawned. That's the trouble. It's been going.
Well, Pierce Brosnan had the same sort of challenge, but who knows? Chloe, what will your score be for Mission Impossible 7 Dead Reckoning Part 1?
Oh, I would say 8.5 out of 10. No, maybe 9.
Yeah, I'd say I'd go for a 9 to 9.5. I think they do extraordinarily well. And it was quite refreshing not to actually be lectured at by a group of pretentious adult pretenders, which is sadly the road that Disney seems to have gone through these days. Just saying. Richard, your score for Mission Impossible? You said you had 2, presumably. 9 for the fans and 5 for yourself.
Yes, I mean, that would be 10 for the fans. No, the fans will love it and give their... No, the point is, I mean, encourage every fan to see it, because this is the way with Barbie and Oppenheim, obviously, we and a few who totter in to see Indiana Jones, you know, it'll help cinema return, not to where it was, perhaps. That's going to be a problem with strikes and the like, and streaming. But at least it will be better. And, you know, I think it's doing very well. So, I mean, also reports of Barbie are encouraging. So let's hope.
Natasha, are you looking forward to Barbie? With, of course, the inscrutable Ken doing a lovely supporting role.
I think it looks very tongue-in-cheek and quite satirical. And I think it'll actually be quite a good laugh. Surprisingly, my sister said she's also going, which is like a big shock, because that's not normally something she would ever go and see. So I think it's going to pull in quite an interesting mix of people. But my preference is going to be Oppenheimer. That is the one that I'm really excited to see.
A new Christopher Nolan movie is precisely what we need. I mean, no doubt at all. And I fear the strike will delay work on, well, apart from the next Mission Impossible, I mean, also Gladiator 2, which I'm longing to see, the next Avatar. I mean, you know, there really will be quite very destructive, possibly, potentially. It will.
As long as we get more reality television coming out of it, that's the key thing. Chloe, from your own perspective, I mean, it has been said that Oppenheimer and Barbie, they're both released on the same day in Britain. Put them both together. What have you got? Asteroid City. Chloe, in terms of your thoughts on Oppenheimer, or indeed Barbie, as indeed you could be said, you could be pop star Barbie. In terms of that, are you looking forward to Barbie, or indeed the tale of the atom bomb and the man who actually created it, Oppenheimer, played by Cillian Murphy, of course?
Well, I do like Cillian Murphy massively, but he would be a good Bond, actually. But the point is, I love Barbie. I had about 40 to 50 Barbies when I was a child. I was obsessed. If I could be a pop star Barbie, this would be the best thing in the world. Yes, I am going to see it, and I think everybody else should.
I mean, one of the things, my introduction to Barbie was it was a few years ago at the Louvre, the Musée d'Arts Décoratifs, where they had a special Barbie exhibition going back to the first Barbies and taking it to contemporary period. It was fascinating.
Natasha, were you a keen Barbie collector in Nottingham?
Yes, I was. I had the dream house. I had the cars. I had the horses. I had the princess, particularly the princess Barbies. That was like, because I was obviously a massive Disney nerd, and I still am. So I had all the princess collections of them. Particularly my favorite was the Esmeralda Barbie. There you go. That's an interesting one. I'm looking forward to the movie immensely.
Richard,
one of the interesting aspects of the movie, and I'm fascinated by this. I love Greta Gerwig's, you know, comedies such as Frances Ha and so on, and also with combination with Noah Baumbach. It will be fascinating. You know, Lady Bird was one thing, Barbie is another. It'll be fascinating to see, and hopefully successfully, if she rises to the challenge of this.
And in South Africa, Richard, were you an avid Barbie collector?
I'm afraid, as far as I was concerned, not at that period, Alex, but
possibly Action Man, perhaps.
Perhaps. Lots of soldiers, certainly. I had hundreds and hundreds of them. My father made a castle for me out of naval ammunition boxes, so it was absolutely gigantic.
Not live ones, Richard, I trust.
Once, Alex, once they must have had live ammunition in them.
Yeah. Because it could be a parent telling their child a sort of, no, just won't go there. It could be a strange and dramatic sort of form of child discipline, I would have thought, using live ammunition boxes. More from the Addams Family. However, you've been listening to the movie review. Chloe, we're going to go out with, your closest, as once described by screenwriter Arthur Weingarten, to a Bond theme, which is Golden Dreams. To actually keep through that, because we know that Chloe Rose, as yet, still unapproached by the Bond producers to sing a theme for the Bond movie, but we'll keep on working on that. After all, you know, Shirley Bassey was doing it well into her latter years, so all good stuff from that point of view. But having done Mission Impossible, of course, and The Joys of Asteroid City, Richard, prepare, of course, following on from your upcoming Oppenheimer and Barbie, savor them whilst you will, because with the Screen Actors Guild having now joined the Writers Guild in Hollywood, or the Writers Association, let's face it, you know, people are saying, yeah, but they're not exactly kind of doing anything for society, are they? They're not like train drivers or like teachers or like other people who've gone on strike.
Alex, one of the reasons for the strike, which you're perfectly well aware of, by the way, you're being mischievous anyway, you're just doing a little stirring to end. But I know that expression too. But in point of fact, of course, they're very high. There's this concern about residuals, about basic pay, but also, of course, about streaming and what they get or don't get with repeats and so on. But most especially, the big concern, and I mean, of course, this was one of the themes of Mission Impossible, and that is, of course, AI. One of the things, the report that it hasn't been denied, that in point of fact, the studios would certainly expect to be able to use CGI background imagery. Now, that would, for example, take away from so many supporting, even if they've no lines supporting actors. So it's a real problem as to how you deal with AI, and the studios have to come, I think, a long way towards the the actors and the writers on this one before there's a settlement.
Richard, I can quite happily say that as far as I'm concerned, I was replaced by AI a good few years ago, according to many students. So from that point of view, it hasn't impacted at all. And the whole experience of a virtual avatar orating with occasional mischievous inserts simply adds to the whole flavour of the Western world. For now, though, to Chloe Rose, to Natasha Wanton. By the way, Natasha, will you be seeing the latest Miyazaki film that is actually having people queuing round the block in terms of this animator? Of course, How Do You Live? Is it one that's on your list of things to see? Because we know Richard, he doesn't do animation, so doubtless he's looking forward to the latest incarnation of Snow White and the seven politically correct individuals that Disney are producing.
I am looking forward to it. I'm not sure if it's going to be, if I'm going to be able to see it in the cinemas. I'm just going to see if I can get what's available and what I can get near me. Sometimes they do play them, sometimes they don't. It's a bit, the positives of being in Australia is you do get a lot of Asian made movies. Unfortunately, it's very touch and go as to where you get them. So it'll be getting hold of it, I think, which will be the issue. But I'll have a look around.
Well, it's doing very well, much as the Nigerian film industry is doing very well, much as the Zanzibar film industry is doing very well. So ultimately, who needs Hollywood? Keep watching the movies.
All that you are. left your shadow behind. Golden dreams, it's not as it seems when you're holding on to the love that's gone. All these golden dreams buried in the sand, all the fears they breathe bled you dry. A fading truth and no regret. Broken thoughts that fill my head, but I saw you in my sleep, and I left you in my dreams. Oh, crashing.
Merciless eyes.